Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese taking your reaction to this weekend. And I mean, really, it's not even really about this weekend. It's just kind of how we've arrived here, here on a Monday where it feels like that. I mean, it feels like that it's not going to be ever the same again. Does that make sense? Like,
it will be. It will go back because, unfortunately, I don't know how much of an impact this will have on people. It's certainly hitting everyone right now, again, because you don't have anything to distract you from this. But as we were saying out in the X1 lounge, What if the NBA Finals were going on right now, or Major League Baseball was going on right now? I don't know if everyone is locked in on this, because you would have if you had NFL mini camps going on. I know African Americans would be locked in on it.
It'd certainly be. I don't a know lot if everybody else away from it.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And that's the point that I'm making. If there's something there to take your attention away from it, you're going to focus on that. And so, sadly, if I'm being honest with you, as much as I may hope this has the right impact on the right people and it causes change and procedures, I don't know if it will. Yeah. I just don't know if it will, because we've seen other deaths that occur and people have marched and protest and done other things, and it's still happening.
I agree with you.
It's still happening.
And it's one of the reasons, top of the show, I just feel so hopeless at the situation, because I agree with you. I think we're going to be mad about it for a while, and then we're going to go back to being normal, and hopefully the coronavirus is, and then we go back to regular life again.
Something else will happen to take your attention away. And
then I guarantee this is going to happen again. I mean, it's not a matter – it's just a matter of when, not if. This will happen again. Yep. And then, like, when I say – I don't know what happens then. Because it feels like it's good, like anytime when this happens the next time, it's not just going to be like, oh, another incident. All right, whatever. We're going to be mad about it, and then whatever. Are we lighting our cities on fire again? Are we protesting not in the peaceful manner again? I mean, I don't know where we go from here.
Well, these protests are starting to get because the emotions are getting, they're getting ramped up even more, right? They're getting ramped up even more, and the frustration level is getting higher. The frustration level is getting higher. So, again, if we don't want the things that came after those nonviolent protests to take place, then that's where we got to make sure this doesn't just pass in a day or two, right? Because eventually they're going to clean up the city and replace windows and replace merchandise, and we're going to get back to trying to be a normal life. Man, we're in this damn pandemic. Everybody was looking forward to finally starting to have businesses reopen, and you're getting some semblance of the normalcy back. This sets that back as well.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're destroying businesses, those people can't go to work now. I mean, the people who were looking forward to reopening their stores and
small
possibly
businesses
getting back to work, all that stuff happens. Now you're back on square one again.
Man, the Target up by where we got Malcolm in a second, but the Target up in right off of Cityland Avenue, back near where there used to be the studios.
Okay, yeah.
That I mean, that guy, I turned on the TV last night after dinner, and they're looting the Target off of City Line Avenue. It's
unbelievable.
Like, but then it's going all over the place.
Yeah.
And then even this morning when I was driving in, I was listening to KYW, our sister station, 1060, and there's still some looting going on right there. So at some point, hopefully this all stops, and then we can start moving forward. Yep. That's really what the question is now what? Right, like now what? We know people are angry. We should be angry, right? But how do you stop this from happening again? That's really the question right now. How does this become the incident that finally has real change towards things? Like, mm-hmm. So I haven't seen real change. I've heard a lot of talk in the last however many years about real change and demanding real change, mm-hmm. but there hasn't been real change. There just hasn't been,
or not enough of it. I mean, that's
we're
for certain.
We're still here right now.
Yeah, I don't want to undermine efforts that have been made. By those who are trying to make changes and affect change. But there's obviously not enough being done across the country because this stuff pops up from time to time. And again, there are going to be people out there that are like, okay, we're making efforts. We're doing things. Our community hasn't had a death at the hands of a police officer, right? Like there are going to be communities that feel that way. But again, from an overall standpoint, that pressure is still felt there from minorities. It's still felt.
Let's go to Malcolm Jenkins. He was protesting on Saturday, peacefully, of course. And mm-hmm. then, I mean, at some point he probably said, all right, this is getting a little bit crazy. I better get out of here. But he's always been a guy in Philadelphia that's talked the talk and walked the walk since he got here. Here are his comments on the situation in full.
I wear this on my shirt because I want this to be clear throughout the whole video that we can't talk about justice until all four of the men who murdered George Floyd are charged and convicted of that murder. Because we've had this national dialogue about policing in a black community for years upon years and over and over and over. And at this point, I don't know what to do. We've marched, we've protested, we've petitioned, we've done op-eds, PSAs, we've tried to change policy. We've literally begged you, stop brutalizing us, stop taking our lives. And it is to no avail. And so the civil unrest that is sure to come, the people fighting for ways to protect themselves is not going to be the responsibility of the people. The people have been documented to have done the work, to have showed up, to have tried to figure this out. But who is going to protect us from those who are in charge of protecting us, who aren't doing that, who are taking our lives? Who protects us from the police? That is the dilemma that you've placed on the black community, because we see these videos over and over and over again, and what we see is ourselves. We see our loved ones. And so over and over again, we see our own demise. We see our own murders. We see ourselves dying in the street over and over and over again. And we are tired of begging you to see our humanity. We are tired of begging you to not kill us and murder us. So whatever this looks like moving forward, it is not on us. Because we've done the work. And we can't talk about justice until all four of those men are charged and convicted for that murder.
So that was Malcolm Jenkins. Mm. Very strong words. You know, I was thinking about this earlier with Malcolm. Remember when he had the sign, the big sign in the locker room, and he almost had cue cards, and it said, you're not listening, and he just kept holding it up?
Yep.
This is what he was talking about. We're not listening.
Yep.
This is what he was saying. He was crying out, help us. This continues to happen.
Yeah,
we can't stop it. What else are we supposed to do? What else am I supposed to do? You're not listening. We weren't listening.
And I know when it comes to professional athletes, they sort of have been told, just stick to sports, play your sport, what have you. But we've also been saying this. If we who have been blessed enough to make it to become professional athletes and get out of some of the communities that we grew up in, the hardships that we had to deal with growing up in, and now we live in, for lack of a better term, gated communities or what have you. We, as athletes, can't forget about where we came from. And so often when we're speaking up for those of our family members and friends who don't have the platform that we have. That's who Malcolm's speaking up for. And a prime example is this George Floyd case. Steven Jackson, former NBA player, San Antonio Spurs, Indianapolis Pacers, Indiana Pacers. I had no idea. How would I have any idea? When this story broke about George Floyd, that this man was a close friend of Steven Jackson's, a close friend of his. And to the point that they called each other twin because they looked like each other. But they weren't related, but they met and they became good friends years ago at, down in Texas in Houston. So I say that to say that's why an athlete that's in Steven Jackson's position is doing the things he's doing. A friend of his just died at the hands of a police officer. So when you tell athletes to shut up and play or shut up and dribble, this is why they don't, because they feel the responsibility to speak up for those who don't have the platform.
If Steven Jackson didn't, that could have been him.
Right.
I mean, he was not lucky, but he was fortunate to have an NBA career that, mm-hmm. that made him a nice living.
Yes.
To where if that didn't happen, this could have been him.
I say the same thing. From where I grew up.
You ever think about that?
All the time. Because I still have family that live in the same areas. Right? I still have family that live in the same area. Whether it's extended family or it's my brothers or what have you. So when things are going on like this, that's who I think about. Right, I know the community I live in, but those that are exposed in some of those other communities.
But you know the community they're living in too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right, and you don't have to be doing something wrong. Like I said, you can be coming home from a 12-hour shift at work, get pulled over, and things go wrong. Things go awry. So it's not the ones that are committing crimes. Believe me, that's I'm not defending any of that. These are people at times that the punishment doesn't fit the crime. And that's really what it boils down to. A $20 forgery check?
Yeah, it doesn't matter that he was committing a crime. That does not matter.
Yeah.
That does not matter.
It's not a crime that should cause for his life to be taken away from him.
No. Let's go to Wade. The other Wade in Chester. Wade, what's up, man?
Can y'all come back to me? I'm in a truck.
All right, hold on.
All righty.
We'll try Muhammad in Willow Grove. Muhammad, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Let me just take you off speaker.
Sure.
So I called because I was listening earlier. I've been listening for a couple hours. And I called because there was this one white caller in his 50s or 60s who called to make a point. He said back when he was like 22, he was brutally beat up by like, three officers and stuff like that. And he was trying to make a point that this doesn't just happen to black people. It happens like to people of all races. And then he gave us that saying like 1,000 to like 1,100 people where stuff like this happened to. Mm-hmm. He said about 45% of them were white and then 23% were black. And to me, that was like upsetting that he called to mention something like that, because what I got from it was him trying to explain that stuff like this is more likely to happen to white people than black people. So it wasn't really the time for him to say something like that. And that just kind of like made me really wanted to call and just kind of like explain how something like that could be taken the wrong way. So for people to be more aware when they say something like that. Mm-hmm. And from my personal experience, I'm African. So like my skin is very dark. And recently, before any of this happened, I had gone to my aunt's house, and her daughter, who's like 13, was explaining to me that in school she gets bullied just because like her skin's really dark. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of stuff that I've dealt with. That's the kind of stuff that she's dealing with now. So this the kind of thing is definitely something that exists, and it's not something that I feel like is the same when it happens to somebody that's white and when it happens to somebody that's my color, for example. And that's kind of why I wanted to call, just to share my opinion on that.
Thank you, Muhammad.
Thank you, Muhammad.
We appreciate it. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the stat was accurate. I don't even care if it, whatever. You can cook up whatever numbers you want to make it the way you want it to be. But if you're trying to, so what I think that white people are trying to do is they're trying to just say like, hey, listen, we know, I know that it was wrong, but it's not really about being black or white, because here's why. No, it is about being black or white. Let's just be honest about things. Mm-hmm. Like, if people don't understand that right now, if we can't agree on that very fundamental fact right there, that it does matter, and that's why this is happening, then there's really no conversation I can have with that person, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is happening, right? And what you're trying to do is you're trying to make a compartment and putting police brutality in that compartment and saying, well, no, that happens to everybody. It does not happen to everybody.
Well, here's the other thing that I'm afraid of, and I'm sure a lot of people are, is that this officer may get off with a light sentence for this. Right, all the apologies and we feel you and all that is fine and dandy, but George Floyd isn't coming back. And if there is some light sentence handed down, we had better be ready, because it's going back to square one. Like those protesters are going to be, like, people are going to be outraged again. So when they're talking about no justice, no peace, what they're saying is there can't be any peace until there's justice that's been served. And, you know, you got to hope that Minneapolis, the prosecutors, I think the case may have been turned over to the state. I think they may have taken it. I know they were petitioning to get it taken out of the local municipal and have the state take over.
Because, yeah, it's a big case for us.
Because people want to make sure – like, okay, this dude's not about to get a 2-year sentence for manslaughter, right? Like, that again would be a display of lack of awareness.
That's the next incident, right? Yeah. Like, Rodney King getting beaten was one thing.
The riots happened.
It was the not guilty verdict that caused the riot. On top of, there was a young girl that got shot by a Korean storekeeper. Yeah. She was shot in the back trying to run out of the store. And it was unnecessary, and she didn't get charged.
Didn't get charged. Yeah.
So it was that, and there was all these things that were brewing, and that's what happened. Yep. And it's similar to what happened here with George Floyd. Couple incidents in a couple of weeks, and it was ready to go.
Yep.
And it did. When we left here on Friday, we both had an idea that it might be a long weekend.
Yeah.
And it was.
And it was.
Let's go to Tim in Coatesville. Tim, go ahead. How are you?
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
What's up, Tim?
You guys have been really on it, and Ike, I got to give you credit. I think you're really on top of it.
Thank you,
the
Tim.
Issue, and but sort of circling around it,
okay.
I think that what we're looking at here is two different things. We do have systemic discrimination in this country, been going on for a long time. But what we saw the other day is part of a systemic criminality where cops are able to, you know, shoot somebody like this or put their knee on their neck and then not face the consequences. And I really think that, you know, you talked about training and the importance of that and, you know, changing culture and so on and so forth. But, you know, there's some bad apples here, and they're really criminals. And, you know, it's not going to change. And this guy had a history of bad actions and was not removed from the force.
This is true.
And there are other people that are liable for that, and that's the chain of command. And I really don't think that you're going to get change until the chain of command is also held accountable.
They're protecting their own, right?
I agree. Hey, yeah, Tim, you make a great point.
Got to crack the code.
Yeah, and to go back what John was talking about with the Rodney King situation, just – I think the chief's name was Daryl Gates out there in Los Angeles. And when you're talking about the chain of command and starting at the top, he was a chief of police officer that implored that type of behavior. He almost to where you're training your cops to handle situations this way, so aggressively, so combatively. combative, with a combative nature that's going to get a response from the crowd you're dealing with in a negative way, and this is what you're going to have. So, yeah, when you're talking about the at the top, there has to be change. There has to be change. When you're looking at protocol and
when you know another cop is dirty and you know what he's capable of, instead of just turning the eye and talking behind his back, do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I think that was it the district attorney, Gil Garcetti, at the time? His son's now the mayor.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, Gil Garcetti, I think, was the DA, and Daryl Gates was the police chief. Mm-hmm. Ended up costing him his job. And then from Philadelphia, Willie Williams, who was the police commissioner here, he actually went out to L.A. after the Rodney King and then the riot stuff to try to move that department along, because they had the reputation for years, and you know this, like, of being brutal.
Yep.
You know, and it's no surprise that when this stuff happened last week, this weekend, that Los Angeles had issues with rioting this weekend. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. How did we get here again, man? I mean, how do we stop from getting here again is the real question I have. Because we got here again. And we keep saying we can't keep coming here again. Black people keep saying we got. How do we stop this? What do we need to do to stop this? Wish I had an easy answer, Ike.
Well, listen,
it's out there.
If you make an example out of some of these cops, then maybe these guys who may have these thoughts in their heads or what have you would think twice before they act on those thoughts. If they know there is a punishment, if they know there's going to be some sort of retribution, because I think there's a false sense of security, and maybe it's not a false sense of security. There's these officers feel like, no matter what I do, I'm going to be protected. I'm going to have the protection of the police department on my side, defending me.
Especially a big police department where,
right,
like we talked about, the chain of command, and
as opposed to, you know, the police having the feeling of wanting to distance themselves from someone who commits an act like that, right? When you see those officers holding down George Floyd, well, I wonder what the rest of those officers are thinking. Like, you see this happening, you don't say, hey, like, we
not
got
not one
it.
Person
yeah,
came
like,
over
nobody
and said,
stops it.
How about you pull him up and you put him in the back of a squad car?
Like, yeah, we got him. He's under control now. Like, you don't need to kill him over this. He went from being in the car to out of the car. You see so many cameras that were in that area who caught that incident on.
Yeah,
on,
you get
on
the
video.
You have the from the back. He can see. You can see it from the other side. You can see the one that we all saw.
It's not like a fight broke out and he was swinging on officers.
And
or
there's
what,
people in the crowd that are more or less saying, like, plead for him. Let him go. Let him up.
This could have been avoided, man.
215-592-9494. We'll continue taking your phone calls on this. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Don't go anywhere. But hey, listen, let's talk about, yeah, we're restarting the economy right now and everybody's opening back up. And you know that you may need some new windows or a new door, right? Summer heat means it's that time of year again. You're going to crank up the AC. But you know what? If you have inefficient windows and doors, those energy bills are going to be very high. So I suggest you go Gaida and finally replace your old drafty windows and doors with my good friends at Gaida Door and Window. And right now, Gaida is offering their best discounts of the year. They want to get you in right now at 40% off. Their 40% off summer sales event on all expertly installed windows and doors. 40% off each window you buy. That's right. 40% off all high-quality, high-performance, energy-efficient, triple-pane windows, and 40% off any door. That includes insulated entry doors, patio doors, garage doors, and storm doors. Plus, you can get your project started today with no money out of pocket and the luxury of paying it off interest-free for up to 12 months. So that's 40% off and interest-free up to 12 months. You get your whole project taken care of in a year without interest. All prior sales are excluded. Don't let these big discounts pass you by. Go Gaida today to take advantage of these limited time savings by calling to schedule a free in-home estimate. Here is their number, 877-GO-GAIDA, 877-GO-GAIDA. Or the website, visit them online, GoGaida.com. That's GoGUIDA.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.